Welcome to episode 29 of Practical Defense, Blending Your Training. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. Before we jump into our main topic, I wanted to pass on a great documentary I just rented and I will be buying. It's called Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden? It was written and directed by Morgan Spurlock of Supersize Me fame. This is a really good movie with a substantial budget, and even my wife thought it was highly entertaining. Also, Jim Wagner makes a special appearance in the beginning of the movie. He trains Spurlock before he heads out on a search for the most wanted man in the world. I highly recommend this documentary. Now, it's been a while since I've crunched the numbers on the podcast, so I took some time this weekend to go through and analyze all of my log files. Oh boy, was I pleasantly surprised. Practical Defense is downloaded in 76 countries now. iTunes appears to be the most popular method of getting the show. It's about 81%, and about 16% get it directly from the web. This week's episode's a little bit short, but absolutely information-packed. And here it is. Alrighty then. This week's topic comes from a listener, Job Gomez. He writes, how do you mix your traditional Kenpo with your reality based in your training? And Joe brings up a really great point. You can't really find a studio that teaches nothing but reality based. There are seminars that you can go to, which is what I teach, but for the daily workouts and training, there really isn't much, if anything, that's available. What are widely available are martial arts schools, but as we've discussed in the past, they can be lacking in some serious ways. So how do you reconcile these differences? There's a 50-50 split on how to incorporate reality-based into your traditional martial arts. 50% is attitude or mental, and 50% is physical technique. First and foremost, always be respectful of your instructors. You are training in their school. You are paying them for lessons in traditional martial arts, not reality-based. And you'll get a lot of resentment if you start mouthing off and saying things like, that's not the way it'll happen in the real world. The majority of what you learn in traditional martial arts will not apply directly to the street, but you will learn some fantastic things. You learn discipline, how to work with a partner, control, you know, that's emotional control as well as physical control of your body. You learn to trust other people, and when you dummy up for techniques, you're essentially placing your body in the hands of your partner. So you need to trust that your partner is not going to beat the crap out of you when you're laying out and not defending yourself. And you'll get tons of exercise, cardiovascular, flexibility, and muscle building. And in some studios and styles, there can also be a spiritual aspect. There are many, many wonderful things that traditional martial arts can give you that should not be discounted. And there are far more than I can list here. Now for reality-based, all martial arts teach the basics of punching and kicking. And those are all you'll need in the street fight. The rest is just dance. I'll explain. Traditional martial arts teaches multiple hand strikes, you know, punches, chops, hammer fists, claws, pokes, and tons of leg strikes, you know, stomps, knees, sweeps, and far too many kicks to count. But in a street fight, you'll use no more than 3 leg strikes and perhaps 4 hand strikes. Now, even Chuck Norris used a mere 4 techniques when he won all of his competitions. He had all of his training at his disposal, yet he focused on 4 techniques, perfected them for his body and his skill, and those are what won him all of his competitions. You know, simple, fast, and effective. Just like reality-based. So from traditional martial arts, take the pieces that you can use, adapt them to your body and your strengths. Take the handful of practical, simple, and effective moves and master them. Make them your own. No fancy spinning kicks, nor punches. You know, you really don't ever want to turn your back on your opponent. And no high kicks. Kick to the center of the mass of the target, not above your own belt. And next, you want to take your training seriously. You should have fun with it, but never forget that what you practice on the mat is what will protect you on the street. I'll quote one of my Kenpo instructors. I don't think he was the creator of the saying, but I heard it from him first. He said, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So practice perfectly. The meaning is that how you practice in the studio is how you're going to react on the street. I heard a story from one of Grandmaster Parker's early students. He told the story that he was in a street fight outside of a bar in Alaska. He went to kick the guy in the head and only tapped him. The other guy stopped the fight. He said that he was sorry and he appreciated that the Kempoist didn't kill him with that kick to the head. Apparently, the tap to the head freaked the guy out enough that he knew he was outmatched, and then rather than get creamed, he stopped and apologized. Now here's the kicker. The Kenpoist didn't want to pull his kick. He was actually trying to take the guy's head off. But he had practiced so much in the studio with only tapping his partner's heads, you know, for safety and control, that when he was finally on the street, he only tapped the guy on the head just like he did in practice. Now after that, he changed the way he trained. He no longer kicked to the head in class and in sparring. He only high-kicked the heavy bag, and then always with full force and full penetration. Now, along that theme, you need to get your training partners to really attack you. Since we're all friends in the studio and no one wants to hurt anyone else, attacks for self-defense techniques are often half or quarter speed, or just half-assed limp spaghetti. These lifeless attacks do you a disservice. You'll learn nothing from them. Attacks against you need to be full speed and directed at the real targets. If someone's supposed to be throwing a punch at your nose, it doesn't help you if it's targeted at the air beside your head. Now, they're doing it because they don't want to hurt you if you miss the block. I mean, everyone does it, even black belts. What I do is I just stand there if they throw the attack like that. I know it's going to miss, so why react? Then I ask them, politely, to throw the attack properly. I explain that I want them to hit me if I mess up. Throw the attack like you mean it. Otherwise, I won't learn. Also, get your partners to make you work for the technique. If the technique calls for a sweep or a takedown, just don't drop because you're supposed to. Only drop if the technique makes you. Again, I'm a big guy, so I don't go down easily. Sweeps and joint locks are supposed to be effortless. They're not supposed to be muscled. I have 100 pounds on most people in the studio where I train. That's about 40 kilos for the international folks. You can't muscle me down. However, if you execute the technique properly, using the correct body positioning and leverage, I'll go down like everyone else. So if they aren't doing the technique properly, I'll just stand there. I'm not being mean. I even coach them how to do it. I just keep them honest in the technique and expect the same from them. If everyone just gives in to you and you think you have it down perfectly, but you don't, you're in for a rude awakening when you try it on the street when the person's trying to resist. Remember, practice makes permanent. Another thing you want to do is supplement your training. Go to seminars from reality-based programs. Go to seminars from other styles. Broaden your understanding of conflict. Agree or disagree, but look, listen, and understand. As we discussed previously, you aren't going to come up against a fighter from your own style who fights like somebody from your studio with the same types of attacks that you're used to getting. See what else is out there, keep an open mind, and learn from everything. Also, take modern weapons training. Heck, I've been shooting since I was 4 years old. I've had civilian and military firearms training, and I used to compete in pistol. I duck hunt, I hunt upland birds, and I hunt wild boar. But what am I doing in October? I'm taking a 12-hour course in tactical handgun. And there are other weapons like tasers, pepper spray, coubatons, and knives. These are common weapons, and you should have at least a passing familiarity with them so that if you find yourself in a situation and a weapon of opportunity presents itself, and in the military it's called a battlefield pickup, you at least know which end is a dangerous one and how to employ it. Finally, get first aid training. Last week, my 63-year-old mother fell and broke her shoulder in three places. So what did I do? I went to my first aid kit and made her a sling. Where did I learn to do that? From my Red Cross first aid class. Of course, it didn't fix anything, but it helped prevent further damage and made her more comfortable when she was waiting in the urgent care waiting room. In summary, here are some tips on how to make your traditional martial arts class better prepare you for a real-world conflict. Now, incorporating reality-based training into your traditional martial arts training is 50% mental and 50% physical. You always want to be respectful of your instructors. All traditional martial arts teach the basics of punching and kicking. The basics are all that you're going to use on the street. Take your training seriously. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent, so practice perfectly. Get your partners to really attack you. No trying to be nice or half-assed attacks. Get your partners to make you work for the technique. Learn to dummy up, but just don't go down because you're supposed to. supplement your training. Go to seminars from reality-based programs, go to seminars from other styles, and as we discussed in a previous episode, consider even going to the occasional tournament. Take modern weapons training. Gun, knife, kubaton, taser, and pepper spray, and whatever else you can think of. And get first aid training. The first aid can save your life, your friend's life, or the life of a family member. It is absolutely well worth taking. So it was kind of a short episode this week, but that does it. And a special thanks to Job Gomez for suggesting this week's topic. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.